The following was edited by
Pop Pop Audio Visual.
For more information on Pop Pop Audio Visual, please visit our website, poppopav.ca.
Hi, Pappies. Welcome back. Hey, Jess, how are you?
I'm doing well, Don. How are you doing?
Wonderful. We've labeled this episode Dungeons, Dragons, and Diapers, and that is a very cool. I love that.
So fun.
So, but before we get into that, let's talk about our last episode. Did you get any comments?
Since we had our episode, people are sort of tuning in, catching on, learning about the podcast a little bit, you know, here and there. And I'm doing a program right now through Royal Roads, and I have this incredible group of people that I am teamed up with. And a couple of them have now had an opportunity to tune in and to listen.
Oh, cool.
And absolutely loved the first episode. And I had the most lovely conversation last night with my sister and brother-in-law, who were saying that they had just listened to our episode with Josephine and how interesting it was to hear her perspective on growing up as a minority in a small town and a lot of the experiences that she had. And my sister was really keen to talk about the makeup. Remember, Josephine talked about not being able to find the right color of foundation and just how sort of enlightening that was. So, you know, it's great. I feel like people are learning things. They're having fun. They're enjoying the conversation so far. And I know that I'm enjoying the conversation. So win-win.
There's some good news. I've just looked at our followers. We went from 1 to 39.
Wow.
Right? Right?
I'll take it.
I don't have that many family members, so they're all on your side if they're your family.
Friends and family, John. We know who that is.
Well, that might be on your side because even my closest friends, I said, have you listened to the podcast yet? Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm like, what friends, right?
They're waiting to binge. That's what it is, Don. They're just waiting for a road trip so they can binge it all at once.
Why don't we just get started? We have our guest here. Her name is Lee. Hey, Lee, say hello.
Thanks for having me.
This is a very interesting story. We have you are a mom of one.
I am, yes.
And just recently, you went down this interesting path. Now, I'm just going to pass it over to you. What did you do? What happened?
Well, a couple of summers ago, I decided to go down the road of surrogacy, being a surrogate myself. Oh gosh, it would have been last summer. I got matched up with a lovely couple. And then in January of last year, I went through the whole medical process. We did the IVF transfers and everything, and I actually carried their baby for them, and their baby was born back in October.
In a nutshell. Now, the interesting part is the backstory to this. This was for a couple not in Canada.
No, it wasn't. It was somebody from overseas. It's actually illegal to do surrogacy where they're from. So they had to come over to Canada to do it.
Wow.
There aren't a ton of options for couples. They are a same-sex couple. Where they're from, there's not a lot of options for them. Adoption is hypothetically possible, but nearly impossible. It just doesn't happen. Like they say, oh, we accept everyone, but like it just doesn't. So this was one of very few options for them to do surrogacy, to have children of their own.
I know we want to keep privacy things going here. We don't want to talk about the couple, correct? You don't have permission to talk about the couple.
I have some permission to talk about them. Like they know I'm doing this. Hi, guys. Miss you guys. I told them to listen in, but country, no.
Okay, interesting.
If this country found out what they did, they can't do nothing about it, though.
Oh, no. It's just can't be any surrogates where they're from. They can't hire a surrogate in that country. They have to come over here where surrogacy is legal in order to have a baby through surrogacy.
Oh, my gosh. Lee, I have to tell you, first of all, I have so many questions.
Yep. And that's what I'm here for.
But I just also wanted to share with you how heartwarming this is to me when I heard that you had done this. That is not a tiny ask. And so I want to know from you, is this something that you always wanted to do? How did you decide to become a surrogate?
probably since I was a teenager. I always just kind of thought, like, what if one of my friends ever needed a surrogate or wanted a surrogate or, you know, was having trouble conceiving? Like, would I be doing that for them? And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. And then maybe 3 years ago, a good friend of mine, we were just having a discussion on, she didn't really feel like she wanted to carry her own children. And I felt myself, like, I jumped at the chat. I was like, I'll do it for you. Like, no questions asked. I'll do it for you. They didn't end up going down that particular route, but it stuck. It really stuck. And finally, I talked to my husband. I'm like, you know, I really want to do this. I feel like it's the right time. We're in a really good place. Our daughter's a little older. She can maybe understand what's going on now. I was like, okay, this is a time. But yeah, I'd been thinking about it for years at this point.
So I just want to also say, Don is a great dad. And we're talking here about his son. So it maybe mm-hmm. doesn't surprise me that he got on board. But what was his initial reaction?
He is one of the most chill individuals I have ever met in my life. And he was like, oh, okay.
My imitation of my son winning $1 million. Okay.
Wow. That's cool.
He's super relaxed. And he was just like, if that's what you want, I'll support you. I'll be there for you. He's like, I won't necessarily look forward to the hormones and the morning sickness, but, you know, like, I'm right there with you. So whatever you want to do.
Amazing. That's so wonderful.
Let's get into the process.
Yeah.
How did you find out about this company? What was this company? Where did you find this? How did you get enrolled?
Like many good things, it starts with a Google search. So yeah, I searched like surrogacy agencies in Canada, and I did a bunch of research first because this is such a personal thing. It's such mm-hmm. There's so many legalities, there's so many laws, there's so many bits and pieces that you really have to know what you're doing and be with a group that you know that they know what they're doing. Did some research. I found a couple and I looked at their reviews. Always look at the reviews, look at their blog posts, looked at their history, their social media, whatever I could find on them. And I eventually went with an agency called Proud Fertility. I got in touch with them. I filled out all of their information. They make you go through psychological, I shouldn't say testing, but like they ask you a bunch of questions just to kind of make sure that you're like of sound mind, that sort of thing. They interview your partner. Mm-hmm. You do a medical screening. Like it's quite extensive.
Absolutely.
I made up my little profile and it was actually really quite cute. My support person with the agency, she sent me two profiles and she said, okay, usually we don't send out profiles, but there's this one couple. They haven't done their video yet, their profile. They took so much time with it. It's extensive. There's a lot of thought put into it. And I needed to send it to you right away. I wanted you to see it. So I read through it and it was like, these are my people. It was so sincere and we had a lot of stuff in common, oddly enough. They said yes to me. We had our little video chat to kind of introduce each other. And then I think we talked for probably about 6-7 months before any of the actual medical stuff ever started Wow. happening. So we got a chance to know each other. Yeah, it was wonderful. And then we did the medical stuff. And then thankfully our transfer happened first try, which was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
So that's really interesting, too. Did you know when you started that was likely to happen or there was a good chance that it would happen, that we would be matched with someone in another country?
They asked, they said, do you want to work with somebody nationally or internationally? Does it matter? Are you okay with working somebody from the LGBTQ community? Like, is there any boundaries that you have? And I was like, no, give me anyone. And I actually would probably prefer to work with an LGBTQ couple.
You prefer to work with an LGBTQ couple. I know people are going to ask this, so I will. Why?
Because I am. I'm part of the community. I love the community. And I feel like it would make it that much more personal. That's my peoples. And I wanted to be with them and help them out as much as I could.
And I'm sure knowing too that probably it's a lot harder for those kinds of couples to be able to find surrogates and people who don't walk into it with those kinds of biases, right? So I can imagine how uplifting that was for them and for you. What were some of the emotional aspects of the journey for you? Highs, lows, anything that comes to mind?
One of the highlights was the day of our transfer. Apparently, it's tradition to eat McDonald's fries the day of your transfer to like help it stick.
Okay.
Fun fact. And so the guys, they send me a bunch of pictures of their different family members and friends eating fries. And I sent them a bunch of pictures of my family and friends eating fries. Like, it was just a really cute moment. But we also had some really tough moments. I had what's called a subchorionic hematoma. Yeah, it was something I hadn't experienced before in my previous pregnancy. There was no control over it. They were like, either this is going to be fine or it's not. There's nothing you can do to change what's going to happen either way. And we have no way of telling you what's going to happen either way.
Oh, wow.
So just that pressure of not knowing and making sure I'm in communication with the guys and trying to make sure that they feel as connected with what's going on as possible while still keeping myself calm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure knowing that their family is in your hands. They were so supportive. How are you doing? How are you feeling? And like cognizant of what I was going through, which I appreciate so, so, so much. And I'm like, no, it's not about me. Like, how are you guys doing? Like, this is your family.
I would imagine the pressure would feel huge. I mean, it's one thing to be going through that. It's your own child. Absolutely. You're going to feel that. But you're feeling so much pressure to be able to carry this baby for them. And you wanted to do it so desperately, too.
Exactly. I just want this to work. They're so excited. They're going to be such great parents. I was like, this needs to work. Most points, I didn't even allow myself to think that it wouldn't. Yeah, it ended up turning out okay, but that was a little bit of a tough go because there's questions. Communication is such a key thing with something like this.
When you talk about the IVF procedure itself, you have one chance to do this. If it doesn't take, are you done?
I signed on for 2 transfers. I would have probably been willing to do a third, but it's all part of, I won't want to say negotiation because that's not really what it was, but like the conversations that you have beforehand. And that's another thing. There's a lot of money on the line. IVF, surrogacy is not cheap. You don't want to have to do it more than once.
And what do you have to do to prepare for that?
Meds. So many meds. I'm looking at doing it again next year. And
wow,
I'm just like, oh, the needles. Yeah, the rest of it I was down for and everything. But I was like, hey, Mark, can you like help me do these? And he's like, absolutely not. That is where I draw the line. He's like, Lee, I can't do needles myself. Why on earth do you think I'm going to be giving needles to you? Like, not happening.
What did you do or did you do anything to just help support yourself, both mentally, emotionally?
I don't really know, honestly. I think I just really went into it with an open mind. I was so excited to do this. It never occurred to me that I needed to like prepare myself for it because I was just like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. I'm so excited for this.
You must have already known a lot about what it was going to be like. You'd wanted to do it for a long time, right? So I imagine you probably Google search, like, what is it going to be like?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's thankfully the internet is a wonderful and terrible place. You can read about other people's stories, about other people's experiences, and you can really learn a lot from that. Like even my own agency, like they have blog posts and they have a YouTube channel, I think, and everything where they talk about stuff like this. So I ended up watching a lot of those in the beginning just to see how other people did it and how what their experiences were.
Lots of support, big community.
Yeah, it is such a wonderful community.
We got these people who are listening to the first time or just understanding what IVF is about. There's going to be a question. How much money did you make from this?
Does it matter? The truth of the matter is, in Canada, you can't be paid for surrogacy. You can only be reimbursed.
Oh.
In the US, it's a little bit different. There's like a set amount that you have to pay per month, whatever. I can only be paid for the things that I spend in the process of being a surrogate. Stuff to make me more comfortable, gas to get to my appointments, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you said you are reimbursed. And of course, people are going to be thinking, well, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this. You weren't like that. My son had to say, for crying out loud, you need this for the baby. Do it. Am I lying?
No, you're not. I had to be convinced to use my reimbursement a little bit. And they're like, you're growing a baby. Well, yeah, but it's fine.
It's not about the money, but it's a new mattress. Get a new mattress.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
This is a very selfless act. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because I already know you have a heart of gold.
You're making little families. Like, I just love it. I think it's so beautiful.
They gave me a sweater that says, I make families. What's your superpower?
Oh, see? Oh, I love that.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful people.
So let's talk about the intended parents. If you can go back to when you were watching this video, what was the one thing that made you go, this is the one?
Oh, you're going to laugh. The way that it was written. They really like Harry Potter, and one of them really likes Lego. And I was like, this was meant to be. It was part of it was like just the general sense of like, I could tell how much they loved their own families and how much they wanted to be, have a family of their own. But I'm like, oh my God, they're Harry Potter people.
Well, these sound like my people too. I'm not going to lie to you. I just went to watch a Harry Potter Calgary Philharmonic this past weekend. So I love these people too.
Yeah.
Did you see her face? She's like, oh.
Yeah, and I'm just like, these people like Harry Potter.
And my son's bedroom is full of Lego. Clearly, these are wonderful people who deserved a baby.
Yeah.
Exactly. From there, it just kept going because, yeah.
Well, they're going to be fabulous parents. I mean, they already do super fun, cool things. So they're going to obviously be amazing parents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honest, it was a bit of a whirlwind. Baby came early, actually.
Oh.
They unfortunately missed baby being born. My water broke the next morning. I go in and the doctor says, get them on a plane. Get them here now.
Baby's decided, I am coming now. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're in the delivery room. You have the baby. There are some things that happened, right? So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So they're not there yet. What happened in the delivery room?
I called my doula and said, hey, I'm uncomfortable. Can you come in and help me with my labor? It was 8:43. Time of birth was 8:53.
Oh, dear.
10 minutes. I'm sitting there going, they're not here yet. This isn't supposed to be happening. They tell me baby's doing good. They try to give me baby. And I was like, oh, you guys, like, I'm actually not doing skin to skin. I want to reserve that for the parents when they get here. I really want them to have that first skin to skin contact. Since he was early, he got whisked off to the NICU fairly quickly. He was great. Don't get me wrong. He was actually doing really quite good. But I remember just sitting there being like, that was so fast. And I don't even know what to do with that. And they started asking me questions about what I wanted to do with the baby, like medical questions. And I'm like, I'm not the parents, you guys. The parents are somewhere over Toronto. Like there's a whole aspect too. Like, obviously I'm like, do whatever it is you guys need to be doing to take care of this baby. I don't know what the parents want specifically, but I do know that they want you to take care of their baby. So that is for you guys to figure out, because I'm not mom.
Wow.
I love it. I love this.
They're coming. They're getting here, but they're not here yet. So they landed in Toronto to find out that their baby had been born.
I just think, Lee, like, that shows such strength of character. I really have to say, like, I am quite blown away by the kind of person that I think you must be. And we've just met, but I get the sense of just being so kind and stoic and all these amazing qualities. But that strength of character to be able to continue to say, yes, please take care of this baby, but it's not my baby, right? And I'm not the mom. That's, I think I'm at a little bit of loss of words. That doesn't happen to me very often.
You're looking at a person who has the heart of 1,000 beautiful people. I'm very lucky to have this young woman in our lives, for sure. I just want to mention, as Lee was talking about the baby coming early, I was watching Jess's face. And when Lee said the baby came early, your face was like, oh boy. Oh,
yeah.
You were like living the moment. I could just see you living the moment, going back in time.
It's amazing. I think any mom, but anytime you hear a birth story, right? I'm right back to when I had both of my kids and thinking about all the things. And
I love me a good birth story.
Yeah, they're beautiful, right? Maybe that'll be an episode, Don. I can share mine. I've got two great ones. My second one too was real quick, Lee. So maybe that's a second baby thing. But I think I was in the hospital 15 minutes before he decided to show up. So it was quick too. So when you said I was relating as well. You were saying you called your doula and, you know, I'm quite uncomfortable. I'll tell you, you were uncomfortable because that baby was coming so fast. That's why.
I messaged them once they were in Toronto. I was like, hey, I'm going to go to the NICU. I'm still saving skin to skin for you guys, but I'm going to go down there if you want and just check on him, see how he's doing. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Like as much as like I made sure to have some, just a little bit of distance between baby and myself, especially at first, because I didn't want there to be too much like the hormone, like hormones, you can't control hormones,
yes.
Right? And I wanted to make sure that there was enough of a separation that my body and my brain both knew, like, this is not our baby. Mm-hmm. This is somebody else's baby. And you need to remember that, like, hormones need to, you need to remember that. They had no concerns, mm-hmm. which I appreciated the level of trust that they had in me. I am so appreciative
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
So I got to go down to the NICU. I got to hang out with baby for a little bit just on my own. And I got to tell him, like, you know, your parents are on their way. Like,
aww.
It ended up being a nice little moment with me and this little human that I carried
yeah.
for a little bit. And I was like, they're on their way. They're going to be here soon. Don't you worry. Like, I promise, like, I'm going to be here until they're here.
Aww,
like, everything's gonna
that.
Be okay. So yeah, it was just, that was so sad that they missed it, but having that little moment was quite nice.
And you want to do it again. I just think that's amazing.
I do.
Yeah.
It's funny. Somebody that I was talking to over the course of this, doing some of the more paperworky type stuff, they asked, how was this experience for you? And I was like, you know, it was really good. She's like, we'll be talking to you again in 2 years, aren't we? And I'm like,
I love that.
Maybe she's like, oh no, I can tell. Oh, you'll wait your year and a bit and then you'll be back at it. I'm like, yeah.
Let's talk about the first time parents walk into the room. You finally get to see them in person.
Oh gosh, it was terrifying. None of this was to plan. So they come in and they've been traveling for like over 24 hours straight, just go, 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 right? And you can tell like they're worried, but they're happy and they're just excited to be there. And I'm like, let's get you to your baby. Like, they meet me at my hospital unit. And I'm like, we'll go there together so that we know that we're together. Let's get you guys going over there. And of course, I'm still recovering from having shoved out a human.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, these are exactly the people that I thought I was going to be meeting. Like, this is exactly who I thought they were, these incredible, kind humans. We took them into the NICU, and normally there's a policy, only like 2 people by the NICU bedside kind of thing, but incredibly grateful they made an exception, because I was like, I need to see this. Like, this is,
yes.
This is the whole thing. This is the whole reason that I did this, was to be able to watch these people become a family and see their baby for the first time. But it was just the energy of them seeing their child for the first time. And it was just beautiful. And they're crying and I'm crying. And this is such a them moment that I just wanted to like sit back and just watch. One of them like held out their hand and they grabbed my hand because they wanted me to be part of this. And I was like, this is just the best. It was just the yeah. best feeling.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There's this fear because there's NICU babies. They're in their little incubator thing. Like, they haven't been here. They don't know what's going on. The nurses, they're trying to help them. They've just become parents. We all know this feeling. All of a sudden you're a parent. And there's questions and there's concerns and there's worries. And why is he in the box? What are all those things taped up to him? Like there's so much. But just the beauty of they're here, they've got their baby, and everything's going to be okay.
How long did the baby end up staying in the NICU before they were able to take him home?
A couple weeks, I think.
Okay. Well, and I love too that you said, you know, nothing went to plan. And I kind of had to laugh a little bit, because I don't think having a baby ever goes to plan. So.
Oh, no. It sure don't.
But I can imagine a lot more planning went into this particular birth than most people put in. So.
Right. Oh, the idea that people who were meant to be parents, who deserve to be parents, would be denied that blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's 2024 and we have to talk about it, right? Like, you wouldn't think
yeah.
that would happen in 2024, but it does. It's still
in developed countries, might I add. Like,
yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
We're not talking a little corner of the world. I'm talking first world, y'all.
Y'all.
I mean, it's very educational, and I'm using the Google reference again, because I'm sure going to go Google this afterwards, because I want to learn more. I think knowing these things, right? Knowledge is power. It's good to inform ourselves.
Oh, yeah. There's a combination of like stigma and just misinformation about surrogacy. Even the people I encountered going up to it and during it, they're like, well, you're giving up a baby. And I'm like, no, I'm not though. I'm not. I mean, this is like my little buddy, my little pal. And when my time with him is done, I get to give him back.
Aww.
This was never mine. I'm just holding on to help him grow. And then I'm giving him right back to the people that he should be with. And a lot of people don't understand how somebody can do that. And I mean, admittedly, I don't think everybody could.
No.
But I knew I could do that.
So you will have people who are thinking on this podcast who may even talk to you and saying, why are you doing this to your body? You're wrecking your body for somebody else's child. Why would you do that? How do you respond to that?
I had been pregnant before. For the most part, my body handled it fairly well. And I was like, you know, if my body is going to be one that handles pregnancy fairly well, I want to put it to good use. Why not use that for something good?
Selfless.
Very selfless. And such a simple, honest answer and completely selfless. Yeah.
It's not the answer people would expect.
Well, we talked a little bit ago about like community, and you kind of touched on this, like different people you encountered along the way, and you live in a relatively small community. Is that right?
I used to.
You used to.
I'm in the more populated Edmontonian area as of now, but I've lived in a few smaller spots. I've lived in Yeehaw Grand Prairie.
Oh, geez. Like, is everybody on our podcast from Grand Prairie? Like, Josephine was in Grand Prairie and Ron was in Grand Prairie. Like, what is happening?
I'm not gonna lie. I listened to the Josephine one and I was like, I know Grand Prairie. Like, I was so excited.
I'm from small town Alberta, but I've lived in a city a long time. And I do think you get more exposure to diversity and you see that a little bit more frequently. So I just wondered if the experience would be different if you were in a smaller, more rural town as opposed to a bigger city center.
I think that you've kind of hit the nail on the head with that one, honestly. Mm-hmm. I also grew up small town Alberta, where I refused to allow myself the joy of trying Dungeons and Dragons because that would make me uncool. So like, I can't imagine trying to be a surrogate in small town Alberta would go over very well either. There's definitely more forward thinking. I find in big urban areas, there tends to be like a really fairly large LGBTQ community and more support and more, I almost want to say progressive thinking, because it is something that's out of the box thinking, right? And there's so many, like I said before, there's so many questions that people have that they don't want to ask. They just kind of assume, you know?
Well, that's good. I'm glad we're doing this though, because I think you're answering some of those questions that people would shy away from.
Okay, so baby's born, parents are here, they get up and they leave, they go back to the country, just like that.
They were here for like a month and a half, I want to say. So we got to spend a lot of time with them, we got to spend time together, we visited quite frequently. They had to do the whole, you know, like getting the baby's passport, which takes, oh gosh, the paperwork logistics and...
Oh, I can imagine how complicated, yeah.
It's a whole thing, right? It was wonderful. My daughter got to meet with them and interact with them. We got to go on outings with them. They were here for Halloween, which just brought me so much joy, because Halloween, especially like trick-or-treating, I guess is not really a big thing where they're from. I guess they had some people knock on their door and they didn't have any candies, but they had some like lozenges.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, here. Is this will work maybe? And we got over there after this happened and we couldn't stop laughing. Like, it was so good to laugh, like to spend time with them and laugh with them and just be able to learn more about them and they learn more about us and show them around the city to a couple of places that we really enjoy. My daughter got to hang out with baby and she was so proud of baby, just happy to be there, honestly.
So you have a family overseas now.
I do. I have a very wonderful little family overseas. We still talk. They get pictures of my daughter on a fairly regular basis. They send us videos of their little family, their Christmas celebrations, and there is eventually, we plan on going over to visit them. We hope someday they'll come back to visit us. Like, it's a lifelong.
Amazing.
It's a lifelong friendship, family type thing. Yeah. It's quite special, honestly.
You mentioned the Dungeons and Dragons. So I have to ask you, that's a different kind of community too, to be part of. And that is a community that you're part of. How did they react? And what is that, like, what is meaningful to you about that community that you're part of?
Oh, that is a good question, actually. I hadn't thought too much about it. Yeah, I'm a big nerd, Dad. Thanks. My D&D community is very much, it's like a few of my coworkers, it's my friends, my family. It's a very tight-knit group that I see fairly often. So getting to share that with them was kind of cool because they see me like almost once a week. Every week I see Dad's best friend more than he does. It's quite lovely to have that community kind of meld together with my surrogate community, and I think it's been kind of enlightening for everyone, which has been kind of nice, honestly. D&D is a whole other thing.
Lee, it was an absolute pleasure getting to know you this evening. My heart is full, and I think I've said it a few times throughout the podcast here, but I have learned so much. You've actually inspired me just to go do my own research to learn more about surrogacy. I'm well past that myself, but knowledge is power. And I do think it's important to be aware of those things because there's so many other parts to this story that I think have sparked just an interest for me in what else is out there and what other countries do. And to your earlier point, Dawn, that we still have to have conversations about diversity and inclusion and why this is an important conversation. So I think we could have gone in 100 different directions here, but it was a pleasure. So thank you.
No problem, you guys. It was really great being on here. It was really great talking to you guys.
We're done. Are you ready for episode 5, Jess?
I can't wait.